But it, as Jesus rules and reigns within us, we start really giving ourselves, identifying with him. And somewhere along the way, there should become a real dealing with the top root of self. This is true. So, yeah, that's true. There should be a real dealing with the top root of self. Now, this doesn't mean there's not some selfishness left in you. It doesn't mean there's not need to grow. But it does mean that the top root is not rooted in self, but that you are rooted and grounded in Jesus. And from the deep part of you, Jesus said concerning the baptism, out of your belly, out of a deep part of you, will flow rivers of living water. And we need to be brought to that place when we talk about the baptism. And not just little old anointed feelings. That really doesn't transform our life or give us power to walk victoriously. We're having to do with a new life here. But it does break in terms of our giving ourselves in obedience. And maybe I better just deal with this, and then we'll take care of the other tomorrow morning. Because in this wonderful act of obedience, he has to overcome real fear within us. You know, we are afraid in the natural. The natural man is afraid of the spirit. The carnal mind is afraid of the mind of God. Because the carnal mind really believes a lie. Believes a lie about God. And somehow thinks that if God really takes over, it'll ruin you. You know? And we've given the impression that the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to anybody would really have to surrender to the Lord. You ever hear saints, real saints, you know, really praying about the will of God? Hallelujah! God's having his way in my life! No, we don't say it that way. We say, not my will, but thine be done. You know? And we hear it, and you know, a shudder. And every talk about the will of God, we think, has it come to that? And you know, I grew up in this kind of thing, and I was afraid of God. I didn't want to trust my life to him. And even after I started believing in the Lord, I still found this fear, and I still find some of it within me. That there are those elements of the carnal mind that somehow are afraid. And so the Holy Spirit begins to bring us into those faith responses that bring us up out of ourselves. Come on and try. Try me and see. Well, Lord, if you make sure that I'll come out all right and I won't make a mistake and you know, and everybody will understand and nobody think I'm foolish, Lord, I'll do it. Well, now, maybe he will or maybe he won't. More often, he won't. He'll just wait and say, why don't you try me and see? If you really want, do you dare step out? But Lord, they'll think I'm foolish. Or do you want the favor of God or the favor of man? Well, Lord, I want the favor of man, tell you the truth. You know? And Lord, I'll just, that's the way I am. Now, you can take care of that. I'm willing for you to give me a desire to seek the favor of God. But Lord, I want the favor of man. I had to pray that way. This is what I mean by honesty. I did want the favor of man. I thought I was going to be a bishop one day. This is before I knew Jim. Since I've known Jim, I knew I wouldn't make it. But really, I'm serious. I thought I was going to be a great pastor. I had great ambitions, great dreams. And this whole business, I really courted public opinion. I knew I had a good personality. And I counted on it. And, you know, I studied hard. And I worked hard. And people, you know, they have an image of what a preacher is. And, boy, I discovered what that image was, and I fit into it.
I got up early and I pushed doorbells and I patted backs and I rubbed fur and I kissed babies and I stirred at stew pots and auctioneered at bazaars and preached 23-minute sermons. You know, and did it dedicatedly. I mean real serious. Being the very best preacher I knew to be. And the Lord began to let me see that this was a dead-end street. And if I were going on with him, I had to decide, was I looking for success or was I wanting to be faithful? I had to decide. I believe you have to decide. I really believe that you have to decide. Are you looking for success in the eyes of the world? Are you looking for a way to be faithful to Jesus? Now, being faithful to him may bring you success. It has me. Yeah, you know. But the minute I seek success, I've lost it. See? I'm not looking for that anymore. I'm looking for Jesus, and I have in him all, you know, everything else added. But as I started this walk in the Lord, in terms of the Spirit, it was learning step by step. And it does look sometimes as if it will wreck you if you follow the Lord. But that's a step you'll have to take. And when you go through that door, you'll discover it opens up into green pastures. And the Holy Spirit says, you see, you didn't have to be afraid after all. Because God's will for you, and you hear me now, because this is really sure enough truth. God's will for you is in alignment with your deepest desire when you're at your best. You were made for God. Your mind, your spirit, your body, you were made for him. And he's made you so that you operate at your highest level of efficiency when you've died out to self and you come alive to him. And it's wonderful. But we don't know that in the carnal mind. And the Holy Spirit starts teaching us this in these little acts of obedience. Now you see, it's in the little acts that there's the exchange of life. The big acts just automatically come. These little acts where there is the exchange of life, these are the ways in which he shows us his love for us. Just like mothers. Mothers don't just sit around and look at a baby and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. They say it, but while they're doing it, they're washing with Ivory soap. You know? You know, are they ironing a dress? Are they, you know, watching a baby learn to walk? And later on, teaching her, you know, to work in the house? And through these little things that mothers do for babies, they're saying, I love you. It's that way with the Lord. He doesn't just sit up in heaven somewhere, you know, where, you know, off yonder. And right in the clouds with like plain light and Pepsi-Cola with smoke. I love you. You know? He really gives us his love in these little down-to-earth ways where he can guide us. Lord, what do you want me to do? What kind of attitude should I have? And you begin to hear. And you hear the whisper, and you start obeying, and he opens the door, and you start moving in. And then you open the door, and you start moving in. And there it is, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. And as you begin to obey, the key to knowledge is obedience. The key to knowledge is obedience. And as we really learn to obey for ourselves, then we began to know the mind of the Lord on the inside of us.
concerning His way, His will in our life. And then this varies in people, but we all come to it as He really wins our affection, wins our allegiance, wins our trustfulness, and really says to us, now, is this what you want? Do you really want me? Lord, I'm sold. I really do. All right. Then lay it on the line. And I'm going to lay it on the line. You know? And a wedding takes place. You know, you really sell out to Him. And He sells out to you. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have some more needs. This doesn't mean you don't ever argue with Him again. You know? It doesn't mean that you don't have some trials and hardships. In fact, it was following His baptism with the Holy Spirit that Jesus really met the devil. Now, the little boy isn't quite right when he said, the devil's like Santa Claus, ain't nobody but your daddy. Your daddy may act like the devil sometimes, but he's not the devil. And you know, as we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not only bring us into union with Jesus as our life, but He puts us in those circumstances where we have the opportunity to manifest Jesus in every area of our experience. And I must tell you, the walk in the Spirit is not just ha, 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 and ho, ho, ho. Sometimes the walk in the Spirit is, oh, oh, oh. you know? And I think we kid ourselves sometimes into thinking that it's all, ooh, me, a dude. This walk in the Spirit is real. And it's realizing that Jesus has really taken you at your word, just as you took Him at His word. And as He comes in, He insists on being your life. And as you begin to react against Him, you'll discover with me, there are some things that He'll let you do, but you can't get by with them. I wish I could tell you that I don't sin anymore. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you one thing, I don't enjoy it. I still, once in a while, lose my temper. But I can't sleep comfortably when I do. I used to, you know, just talk about somebody. You know, just really peel it right off. I have such a sharp intellect. Haven't you gathered it? You know? I'm warning young people this way. You kids are just so sharp. You know, you're able to size someone up. And really, you're just able to diagnose and describe everything about them, as long as it's somebody else. That's the way I am. I really know how to size everybody else up, put them in their place, pigeonhole, you know, and then go to somebody that agrees with me and talk about those that disagree. I'm real good at that. That's the way I acted before I met Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to teach me to do that. But every time I do it, something within me cries. And I really have to repent. I can't act the way I used to act and get by with it. You see, I've been made sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit. Thoughts that I used to have that didn't bother me. Now you let me start playing God, and I'll begin to notice it in my sinus and in my throat. Now, I'm not saying that's true for you. Some of you may have laryngitis right now. I'm not trying to diagnose your case. Let the Lord do that. But with me, when I really began to try to do it in my own, it starts showing in my sinuses, in my throat, and I have to just resign. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm running around playing God. You see, the only one who really tries to act like God is the devil. God is God. And he's just himself. The devil is nothing, you know. He's nobody with a capital N. And he doesn't know anything. Only thing he knows is what he picks up, reflections from God. And he tries to imitate it. He can't do it. He tries to imitate the Holy Spirit. Or he'll quote the Bible. And he'll act like partial truth is total truth. Holy Spirit matches Scripture with Scripture. But the devil will take one part of it and try to make you think this is all of it. Boy, he'll really use the Bible. But the Holy Spirit will try to convict you. He doesn't know how, so he ends up condemning you. Not convicting you. The Holy Spirit convicts. So the devil just looks at God and then tries to imitate him. And anytime you're trying to act like God, you're aligning with old Slewfoot. You're in his corner. And I know that from experience. And sometimes I try to play God, and I get identified with old Slewfoot, and I'm made for heaven. I'm not made for hell. I'm made for light. I'm not made for darkness. I'm made for help. I'm not made for sickness. Hallelujah. I'm made for Jesus. Glory to God. And when I begin to let something else in my mind or in my spirit, it begins to pick up in my body. And I'm glad the Lord has let it be that way. Then I can learn to repent quickly. You know? And this is why I love healing so much. Not just because healing is a temporary alleviation of symptoms. If that's all there was to it, it wouldn't excite me at all. But you know really what healing is? It's a prelude to glory. You know, it's God opening up the curtains a little bit and letting us see that we're going to have a glorified body. You know, that's what it is. And boy, that excites me. You mean, our Lord Jesus, that I'm to be so one with you in the Spirit and so one with you in mind and learn to walk in you in such a way that my outward man can manifest that eternal oneness of the hidden man, and there'll be the same thing inside and out, and my body can manifest the glory of Jesus and be glorified, and I'd be resurrected, mind, spirit, and body. I like that. You know, and that's what healing suggests. The real theological root system to healing is the resurrected body, the glorified body. Not just alleviation of symptoms. And this is why the church's ministry is not diagnosing the cause, but specializing on the cure. We aren't ministering salve to a soul. We're ministering life to persons. And so these symptoms are simply opportunities to open the door to Jesus. Lord Jesus, where did I pick up this concern? No, you know. And he began to show you, all right, Lord, I repent. I thank you. I'll quit praying God. I'll let you be God. And you move on with it. You don't have to pray about a headache. Just stop praying God. You know? And if you got your headache cured and kept on praying God, and you were managed to keep, you know, get together, then you'd immortalize hell, wouldn't you? You see, if we could really get by outwardly with anything less than Jesus on the inside, we'd have an eternal hell. And we don't want that, do we? And so I'm glad the outside will never be whole except as it manifests the inside. This is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But let me say this. I am glad that when we are pure on the inside, it can be made manifest on the outside. I'm glad of that. And that you can have heaven inside and outside too. But it really does start with this wonderful way of obedience for you, between you and the Lord. Now, obedience has to do, as Ezekiel saw, with two wheels. There's a wheel and a wheel. Now, the big wheel is pretty well given to us. We don't have to fight much or struggle much with the big wheel. That's your God-given circumstances. You've just got some things that are given to you. It's not a matter, will you be a mother if you are one? See, that's the big wheel. The little wheel is, Lord, how do I reveal you to my children as a mother?
How do I reveal you to my husband as a mother? How do I reveal you to my family and to my neighbors and to my community as a mother? Not a matter, will I be a mother? That's already given. You see, it's not a matter, will I be a student if you're in school? You're already a student. That's the big real given. Lord Jesus, how do I manifest you as a student? How do I really show forth the love of Jesus toward my teacher? Well, first of all, you get to place where you want to. Don't you? Sometimes we don't want to, do we? You and I are talking back and forth. Well, that's right. We get honest about it. See, Lord, how do I manifest the love of Jesus toward my preacher? Well, become chairman of the Pastoral Relations Committee and get rid of him. You know? Stop paying your salary and make the bishop send you another one. Or do you? Wish him on for somebody else. If I were a district superintendent in the Methodist Church, I'd never move preacher as long as there was a problem. Because you're just moving somebody else's problem. You know, stay there and face it as long as there's a problem. Now, I had to learn this, and I guess I'll close. I'm not even noticing the time tonight. Okay, I'll close in a minute. But I had to learn this out at Oral Roberts University. I love Oral. I've loved him ever since I've ever known him. He's a great, great preacher. He used to be greater than he is now for me. Some people think he's greater now, but I used to love his old sermons better. they had the smell of fire on them, you know. That old boy could preach. But back in the days when he's preaching that Fourth Man and Samson and Delilah, you know, boy, that was great preaching for me. But I loved Oral, and I worked with him and Bob a great deal. Bob DeWeese, every once in a while he'd call me and say, Tommy, we're going so-and-so, how about come go with us? And really, I've traveled all over the world with him. And we'd unwind after these services at night and dream about the university, you know. And I'd share with him what we were praying about at CFO and all these schools and so on. And really, I fed CFO concept into Oral and felt, you know, privileged to do it. This whole business of the whole man, and all this business of oneness of life. And it was my privilege, not that he got the idea from me, but he responded when it came through me. And we had a wonderful time together. And then when he started the university, he said to me, now, Tommy, you've helped dream it. Come on out here and be a part of it. Well, I didn't want to, you know, really, for two or three reasons, but basically, didn't want to get identified with the Pentecostals. Now, I was already Pentecostal, but, you know, I'm a Methodist Pentecostal. And I'm a Duke man. You know, that sort of thing. And I really didn't much want to get hooked up with the Pentecostal world in my image. And I had to reckon with that. And the Lord began to... But I kept saying to Oral, look, Oral, I know my bishop will not appoint me to Oral Roberts University, and I really am not ready to leave Methodist Church. So finally I gave him that answer, and he said, Tommy, have you talked with the bishop? And I said, no, I haven't. Well, will you ever know until you do? And I said, no, I won't. So I made an appointment with the bishop and went and laid it out on the line. And really knew the Bishop God was going to thank me for coming and say, Tommy, we need you here in this conference. But to my utter dismay, you know, this precious man, Bishop Paul Garber, said, Tommy, all through the history of the church, colleges would start with revival fires, and then they'd either go one of two ways. They'd go the Bible college route, and the warm heart, and lose out with the academics, or they go intellectual and lose out with the warm heart. And he said, if you people can start a new college and keep head and heart married, then he said, this is true to the Methodist heritage, and I'd love for us to have a part in it. And he said, I'll be glad to appoint you. And boy, I went out to Oral Roberts University. Now, when I came into evangelism in 1954, it was with this covenant that I made with the Lord, based on the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I made a covenant with Jesus. Lord, I'll do my best to seek you in your kingdom, and I'll never let my needs be made known to a man. Because you said all things would be added unto me if I seek you in your kingdom, and I don't have to go around and make my needs known. And I lived that way. I lived that way for 10 years and never made a single need known to a person. And every need was met and exceeding abundantly above my needs. It was glorious the way Jesus really took care of us. So I got ready to go to Tulsa, and I said to Brother Orr, now I've been living 10 years without a salary, and if God can do it for me in Goldsboro, he can do it for me in Tulsa. And I'm ready to come with or without salary. It doesn't matter. And he said, well, Tommy, you're going to set up a department in the school, and really we'll need to put it in the budget, and it would help us for you to get a salary. So I said, well, let me talk with Jesus. So I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord Jesus, you know me. And if you want me to have a salary, that's your business. Just let me know what it is. And you know, a figure came to my mind that was good. Man, it was a real good figure. And it's wonderful. You know, the Lord's not nearly as stingy as we think he is. And so I called on. I said, well, you know, you're right. I am supposed to have a salary. Jesus confirmed that, and I'll tell you what he told me it's going to be. And I told Lord, he whistled and said, Tommy, we hadn't planned to put that much in that department. Well, I said, Brother Orr, you don't have money enough to pay me. And it's not going to be you putting that much. I'm a man just like you are who's looking to Jesus. And it's going to be Jesus who'll do it. Now, he may use your business office to do it through, but it'll be Jesus giving to me. So you pray about it. It's not the Lord. I don't want it. It is the Lord. Why, we both need to know it. And this old boy called me a few days later and said, Tommy, you're right. That's what I heard too. And, you know, I got out to Tulsa, and I discovered, you know, sometimes we say living by faith means as if we don't have a salary. Fellas, your salary is a gift from Jesus. Living by faith is not living by a method. It's living by response to Jesus. And if you'll accept that salary as a gift from God, you won't be bound by your paycheck. Your wife won't eat. You know, accept it as a gift from God. And then when the Lord tells you you need a raise, you can go say, look, I'm worth more than this to you. The Lord told me. Let's get at it. You know, I'm serious. We've got so much to learn about walking with Jesus. I'm telling you what I've really learned. And so I got on that campus, and I the first day I was there, some friends came by from South Texas. And I took them over the campus, and they left a check for $30,000. You know, I took it in the business office. I said, just in case you had any fear about Jesus. You know, I don't know how much the Lord brought in through me. I never kept an account of it. Several million. Nobody suffered because I got a good salary. It was all taken care of. Now, when I got there, dreamed all these dreams, I discovered so many things. One was this, that sometimes dreams have to die. And I don't like for dreams to die. But sometimes they do in order to be blue, in order to blossom and grow into greater dimensions. But my dreams began to die out some, and I didn't like. But one thing that, and this is the point of the story, all had been led to make needs known. I had been led not to make needs known. Boy, that was conflict. You know, for us to get in those seminars and bring out those charts and trot out all those needs. And boy, that old boy stand up and raise, you know, $2 or $3 million in a day. And he's a genius at administration. And, you know, it's really a gift of God. But, I can't tell you how it would bug me. And the public relations, oh, how it bugged me. I'd take those kids out, you know, in some street corner to preach and witness and have a glorious time. And the first thing I knew, you'd be some of those cameras. I'd take our pictures so they'd get an abundant life. Old Vep Ellis, who loved me and knew me so well, every once in a while he'd come up and open his eyes and say, "Oh, I know you. I saw your picture in the Bud Light." And this would bug me, you know. Always trying to report everything. And I didn't know how to work it out. And I tried to leave. And the Lord wouldn't let me leave. No, you don't leave. You stay here because you're beginning to doubt all motives. And you stay here and work this thing out. You know? And the Lord just held me right to it and began to let me see that God could lead all one way and lead me another, and we both be real honest. You know? And so after this had been worked out in my heart, I went to see Orr one day and just laid it all out to him as I saw it. And when I finished, he said, "Tommy, we honestly have a different understanding of administration." Well, I said, "I believe that was right, and I think that means I'm free to go." And he said, "I want you to stay, and you can stay on any basis you want to stay, but from my point of view, you're also free to go." And we left in great love. And it's not quite, he does love me. It's not quite true. Every time I have a pretty tie on, Jim comes up and says, "I see Orr gave you another one of his old ties." Now, Orr does love me, but he doesn't see me as old ties yet. But you see, these are lessons we have to learn. And as long as you're trying to run from a problem, you're not going to solve the problem. But Jesus, how do I manifest you in it? And you learn to manifest Jesus, win the victory, and then move on. Now, I've covered a great big territory here tonight, but have I caused a lot of confusion? Does this make sense to you? All right, let us pray. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you that it's more wonderful than words can ever describe or mind can know, but it is revealed by your Spirit. I want to join my loved ones here in asking that we be brought to the place of greater sensitivity and more helpful and creative responsiveness to the Holy Spirit within us. And that we not try to know you after the flesh anymore, Jesus. One who went before us said that we knew no man after the flesh anymore, not even ourselves or anyone else. And he said, though they once knew you after the flesh, they didn't know you that way anymore. But by the Spirit. And Jesus, let my knowledge of you be Spirit revealed. And I pray that for every one of us. Thank you. Amen.